We're going to play Kyle Shanahan's press conference in its entirety not too long from now, as soon as we've got this thing finished and all kind of set up for you. However, we've got a little teaser. We've got a teaser from Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, dip your toe in the water, if you will. You want to hear a little Shanahan?
Love it.
I'm told this has got some juice to it.
Ready? Shout out Kyle Juszczyk.
All right, here we go.
We were pissed off from yesterday. That was a tough loss. We had every chance to win it, and we didn't get it done. So I think guys were disappointed and upset. But I mean, we all know each other pretty well in here. We understand our expectations, and we had a good team meeting, addressed a bunch of the fourth quarter, kind of watched it all together. And then we broke up into our position meetings. But I think guys are pissed and ready to put that game behind us. Today's always a hard day to deal with it because of some of the frustration of what happened. And now I think our guys can't wait to get to Green Bay as fast as we can.
Okay. Instant reaction. We've already heard that press conference.
Exactly. I was just thinking the same thing. I'm tired of hearing about how angry you are after a loss.
We already heard that we're mad, but we know each other and we know what we have to do press conference. I've already heard it twice. It's November now. You're after the bye. It's the second half. It's a division game on your field. All of those things. You ran out of whoops, we messed up games. You ran out of them. You didn't have any left. That was the one. You can't do that. I hope they prove me wrong. Go beat Green Bay and Buffalo. And I'll be like, nope. Actually, they do. What a group.
Right.
What a reaction. Unbelievable. Bravo. But how many times are you going to do this year? Oh, we're all very mad. Oh, good. I'm glad you're mad. I think everybody listening to our show is too.
Exactly. That's why we have full phones of people who are just as mad. And if you hadn't blown these three games, and yesterday wasn't as much of a blown game as it was Arizona and LA, but if you were 8-2 right now, then we'd be having different conversations about, are they Detroit and Philly and the Niners, the elites in the NFC? Instead, we're having to, again on a Monday, listen to the head coach talk about, gee, how mad we are, and we just all watch the fourth quarter and, heck, we want to get to Green Bay as fast as we can.
Nah, you got to scheme it up, man. You and I talk about this number a lot. For me, it's always the same number. It's 25. You don't need a Purdy 30, but you do need 25. And in fact, I'd even usually accept 24. That's a winning number in the National Football League.
Yep.
You did get there once and lose this year. That was against the Rams. You lost 27-24. But when the 49ers get to 25, they don't lose. You don't lose, period. Set your watch to it. Lawler's Law. We'll see the Clippers here in a few hours. Yep. You get to 25, you're going to win the football game. Might be uncomfortable sometimes, Dallas Cowboys, but whatever. And I don't think with what you've got offensively, I don't think that's too much to ask. Sometimes it'll rain. Sometimes it'll this, that, or the other. You play a great defense. Maybe you got to grind out a 23-20 game like you did against Tampa just a week ago. But the bottom line is you get 25, you win. And they haven't been doing it enough. There's too many 17s and 20s in there.
And it's because of a couple things for me. One, your red zone for the majority of the year has not been good. You haven't scored touchdowns. The opener, you had 6 field goals against the Jets. And the other thing is these penalties and these mistakes. And I'm just looking at the last drive before the end of the first half where you get it 1st and 10 at Seattle's 34, 2-minute warning. You have a full rack of timeouts. You're at their 34. You're in control. Go score a touchdown. False start, McKivitz. Purdy sacked, McKivitz. Then back-to-back plays by Maffei, the deflected one at the line, and then he knocks one
over the middle.
And it's 4th and 23 at the 47, and now you have to punt. So you go from the 34 in business, full rack of timeouts. All right. Even if you have to settle for 3 there, you're going to eat the whole clock, and that's going to do it. But instead, you back that thing up, and you end up punting. Seattle doesn't score, but the point is 24 points. You're talking about leaving points out there. That's another drive where you just messed it up.
I always enjoy listening to the national broadcasters because they can speak to a fan base in a way that we can't speak to each other because we're emotional. And I heard Tom Brady do this last week, and I heard Joe Davis and Greg Olson do this week. If they're sitting there going, wow, this must be frustrating for 49er fans, they're saying that. Right. They don't give a rip. That's the Dodgers announcer. That is the Los Angeles Dodgers announcer.
That's a good job.
He's a pretty good broadcaster.
Yeah.
They have a habit of that there. Anyway, that's the Dodgers announcer, and he's sitting there going, wow, that'd be frustrating. Yeah. Yes, it is. And if those sort of objective voices, if they feel that way, how do you think we all feel? And then how do you think, and I'm not saying Kyle should have said anything different there, because that's just reality. But I'm sorry, it just sort of doesn't land. It doesn't land to hear, hey, we know we messed up. We're mad. We're mad, but we know ourselves. And so now we know what we have to. No. Yesterday was already the we know what we have to do game. You already were out of the bye. You already had four losses. All of the games were the we know what we have to do games. You were going to lose some of them because you got good teams on the schedule. Yesterday wasn't one of them. You didn't have any more room to do that. All right, let's go to Ulysses in Marin. Hi, Ulysses. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting.
No, thank you guys for taking my call. So, sorry, I'm just walking out, doing a little something right now. So, anyways, it comes down to the same two things. It always comes down to, man, it's play calling and execution. McCaffrey, obviously, you can't just come back and be the same guy. How about some two running back sets, man? I really like Mason a lot. How about we just throw a wrinkle? It doesn't have to be for the whole game, but maybe a couple drives, a little two running back set. You know, just mix things up. Mason is very, very good. Maybe they can play off of each other. Maybe a little bit of that Detroit situation they got going on, you know? But we just got to make better play calls, I feel, or at least mix it up a little bit. And then the guys got to execute. I've seen a lot of missed tackles, a lot of missed blocks, and it's just things I'm not really used to seeing from our team, you know? So I just think it just comes down to the basics, man, the basics.
Yeah, Ulysses, I'm with you. Like, here's what I would give the Niners wiggle room on with regard to all these injuries. If you became a less dominant team, and you did need to kind of grind a little bit more. Like last year, it was just like, we're here. There's the 30 points. Yeah, what are you going to do about it? Now it's like, do you need to grind out some 24 to 21 games? Is somebody going to make a run at you and you got to hold them off? Like if you had to do that because of the injuries, okay. I get it. Lots of no Christian, lots of no George and Debo and Dre. And I get all of that. But too often, it goes to the next step where you have outplayed a team all day long, this opportunity, that opportunity, and it's the two U words. It's undisciplined, and the other one's two more words, but and underperforming. It's just you are undisciplined, and you are clearly going out there and getting less production, less output than the numbers and what the eye test suggests we should be seeing. And that's what, so like, no, the injuries, I'm sorry. You don't get to use those when you're out there outplaying everybody, but then coughing games up.
Yeah. And yesterday was another example where you didn't really outplay Seattle, but you got yourself in a position where you should have won. And I was just looking at the ESPN win probability, and when you get a penalty with 3 minutes to go, you have a 90% chance of winning that game. When CMC, they had holding on the defense, and he goes for 1 yard, and you get a free five, and there's 3 minutes left, 90% chance to win, and yet you found a way to lose. And it's the third game where you've been that late in the game, and your win probability has been well above 90 or 90 or higher, and yet you found a way to lose games. And so you're right. A game like that yesterday, you needed to find a way to grind it out and win. Get points on that last drive. Make Geno score a touchdown to force overtime, not to beat you.
Yep.
Had you at least gotten a field goal, and then Geno goes down, fine. 20-20, we have overtime. Hopefully we can figure out how to get this done. But instead, you got to punt it away. And Grandy with a great point earlier where Seattle had nobody back. I just was watching it again. They had nine on the line and two out wide. All you have to do is pooch that
just
thing.
Pump, yep.
Instead, he pumps it into the 4-yard line. It goes in the end zone. 22-yard net, setting them up to beat you.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We'll give you the Shanahan in full in just about 15 minutes here. But let's keep talking to you. Scott in Marin, you're next. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Oh, good afternoon, guys. Yeah, you know, just listening to you guys talk about the injuries, nothing. This is one of those seasons where what can go wrong has gone wrong, you know? It's just they've been due for something like this, you know? They've had a lot of success in the last 5 years and didn't get over the hump. And this is sometimes what happens. I mean, they lose Hargrave. They don't have Greenlaw. They lose Ayuk. Trent Williams is playing on one leg yesterday. No Kittle. Debo's not the same player either. And so it all kind of adds up to mediocrity. And then your special teams has killed you too. And so there is responsibility on the coaching staff for sure. Now, Kyle is not scheming people open right now. And there's been adjustments in this league to this offense. There's no question about it. But when they can't run the football, there's no Kittle there yesterday, and Williams hurt, and McCaffrey's not McCaffrey yet. If he's going to be, I don't know. But they can't run the football. That puts a lot on Brock. And he's doing whatever he can with his legs because they're not giving him a whole lot of time to throw the football. And you know that pass where he threw that, what was it, the second down to Debo over the middle and it kind of went high?
Right over his head.
Pass.
Yep.
But I looked at the replay on that and the defensive, the tackle up front got his paw up and Purdy had to throw the ball over his hand. So, you know, it's just little things that cost him. It cost him the Super Bowl, somebody missing a block. You know, it's just, they just can't quite get over the hump. And you can't really compare organizations and complain about Steve Kerr and those kind of things. Those guys got four rings in their pocket. You know, if things would be a whole lot different if Kyle had a ring in his pocket.
Oh, completely.
So this is what he's going to have to deal with.
Completely. But Scott, I'll say this. Thanks so much.
Right on, Scott.
I mean, there all those things that you mentioned are real. However, there's no such thing as a football season that doesn't have a journey that comes with it. All these teams are all dealing with crap. All of them. The Lions have lost two of their top defenders. Their second receiver got suspended for the second time in his career. The Chiefs have lost their entire receiving core and their running back. You got like, just because, and someone put a paw up in his face, guess what? That's football. Then you got to go to option B or C or whatever. Hell, the Niners would have been better off on that play having Brock just dive to the line of scrimmage and keep the clock moving.
Exactly.
Then huck the ball over everybody's head.
Scott's right, though. Watching it back, the defensive tackle puts the hand up.
Yeah, he puts the paw up.
And what Brock has done really well this year is been able to layer throws and finesse it. But this one, he just airmailed it because he's had a lot of passes get knocked down at the line. And I look at Kyle Shanahan and think, how about you roll him out? How about we get some designed rollouts? And the play that Juwan scored the touchdown on was a play action reverse boot. He goes to his left and he finds Juwan Jennings. If you have a quarterback who's getting a lot of passes knocked down, and it feels like there's two or three every game that get tipped or deflected and whatnot, roll the guy out. Make it easy on him instead of having him try to throw over 6'5 guys.
Let's keep going. How about Patrick in South City? Hi, Patrick. Thank you for the call.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up?
You know, I think I've watched every play of this team, every game for the last 5 years, and I want to make some points here. And I've said it before, this myth that's in the media and so forth, that Kyle Shanahan is an offensive genius, is nonsense. For example, when is the last time you saw the Niners do a two tight end set or a two back set or a screen play or a slant or an end around or a flea flicker or a fake punt or a fake field goal or a counter play? I haven't seen them, you know? And number two, his track record indicates that he's not an offensive genius. And why I say that is because if you, you guys know this, it's always been the defense that's bailed him out for his, you know, his play calling ineptitude, right? We've always had a strong front seven and a decent secondary. And when John Lynch made the decision not to really put a lot of real talent up front, that's why I think you've seen the Niners struggle this year. All this talk about player personnel and injury, it's all nonsense. If we had the defense that we had, you know, the last 3-4 years, even with Kyle calling terrible offenses and terrible plays, it's always seemed to bail out the Niners, right? But now we don't have that. And that's where I think the disconnect is.
Patrick, thank you for the call. Yeah. Come on, man. Come on.
And they do a ton of running backs. Kyle Juszczyk played 37% of the snaps, and he's a running back. So, and they normally do a lot of two tight ends, but they only had one tight end yesterday that they really felt like they could play.
I really don't want to get into the hole because I don't know who said this and made everybody freak out. I don't care if you want to call Kyle Shanahan a genius or not. He's a football coach. The 49ers scored 491 points last year. They didn't get, quote, bailed out by their defense. I saw them down 24-7 in halftime of the NFC Championship game. They didn't get bailed out by their defense. I don't, like, I'm not even refuting the idea that the Niners have, in recent years, had a really good defense. Yes, that's part of the plan.
Right.
That's part of the plan is to have a great pass rush. That is a Kyle Shanahan.
So you're telling me the plan for a team is to have a good offense and a good defense?
That's the hope. That's the hope. But this idea that Kyle Shanahan has just been bebopping his way through offensive coordinator jobs and head coaching jobs in the NFL for the better part of 20 years now, had 28 points at halftime of the Super Bowl, which you all want to hang that around his neck, but you don't want to give him credit for the number of points they scored. Now he's being carried. Now he's being carried by a defense that he's got nothing to do with, supposedly. I'm sorry. No.
Last year they were second in the league in points. The year before that, fifth. The year before that, seventh. The year before that was the injury year, so we'll discount that because they had no quarterback. And then the other year they went to the Super Bowl, they were fourth. So they've been top seven in every year over the last six. Oh, and by the way, they're... they are eighth right now in points.
Lucas has already got it on Twitter, and so I will stand by this. Quote, you're not doing a good job right now. He's not having a good year. But please, my opinion, I would not let this year, I would not let you use that as evidence that now Kyle Shanahan doesn't know what he's doing, doesn't know how to call a play. That's crazy.
I agree with that part of it, but I also want to make sure that I'm clear when I say if this continues and the offense continues to be mediocre and bland and stale, you need to do something going into next year that is different.
I agree with you completely. I wouldn't even wait for next year. How about Sunday? That'd be a good time to do it.
Well, I mean,
what the hell do you have to lose
from
now?
I'm talking about from a coaching standpoint, bringing in some fresh eyes or a fresh voice, somebody to help him or guide him, because what I'm seeing from this offense is not very dynamic. And, you know, the caller was partially right in things that we're not ever going to see a lot of the trickeration, like what Andy Reid does when they do ring around the rosy and, you've got, you know, tight ends
or even
taking
Dan
direct
Campbell.
Snaps.
And even Dan Campbell,
they get crazy. It's not what Kyle does. Kyle likes to run a very solid 21 personnel, two running backs. And yesterday, I don't think that he adjusted to the loss of Kittle very well.
I agree with you. Yeah, I don't think he's having a great year. I do remember that it was just January of this year, though, that Dan Campbell and Kyle Shanahan matched wits, and Dan Campbell was the one that walked out of there with fried egg all over his forehead.
Probably not his fault. When you got, you know, a wide receiver wide open on fourth down and he drops the football.
That's fair. However, those are the chances that you didn't need to take that chance.
You're right.
You're taking
that Reynolds,
chance.
Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, you didn't need to take that chance.
Yep.
Kick the field goal.
It worked.
Anyway.
Play worked.
Yep.
I mean, the play call worked. And,
But it didn't.
But it didn't. Exactly.
John in Berkeley. Hi, John. Thanks for the call.
Hey, fellas. How you guys doing?
Good man. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, thanks. Hey, I think, you know, the jury is in on this guy. I mean, my gosh, this guy couldn't lead a horse to water if the, you know, water was in his backyard.
Who's this guy, John? Are we talking about Kyle Shanahan?
The, the head coach and the GM to a lesser extent. Okay. I mean, you know, I think the governors on the team, the ownership, has bought too much stock into these guys. You know, this Super Bowl hangover is a real deal. You know, I've worked with, you know, former, you know, ball players or professionally, not in an NFL capacity, but just, you know, in like general work. And they've all told me, you know, that this Super Bowl thing is, I mean, the NFL life is short, you know, it's, so they're really banking on past, you know, accomplishments and, you know, but somebody needs to hold the feet to the fire and say, you know, either we make a change or we're not, you know, we're not talking about the Arizona Cardinals here, folks.
So, John,
we're not talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
John, stand on what you say. Stand on what you do. are you suggesting right now that the 49ers fire Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch?
At the end of the season, yes.
Okay.
Because, you know, if they were to have not a winning season, then, I mean, what else is more? I know there's injuries. Everybody goes through it. But, you know, I just don't see the barking, you know, leadership. I know his dad was a great coach and all, you know, he just did it through you know, different style. But I just think Coach, you know, Shanahan, you know, Kyle, I'm sure he's a good guy, but I just don't see that, you know, leadership quality.
So no, but no points for the last 5 years, none?
No, because he's made bonehead mistakes. Look, the overtime rule, I mean, are you kidding me? I would have fired him right there.
Okay.
That's one. All number right. Two, I mean, you know, this it's just like all the times when they did win, it wasn't because they won because of Shanahan. You can't say, well, you know, didn't take available points, they would have lost by a field goal.
John,
no, they've always blown teams out.
John, thank you. And Kyle gets no credit for blowing them out. That was just like he was along for the ride.
No doubt.
Yeah. You know, C-Mac is not the same. You know, like I said, NFL life is fast.
Tell you what, John. Appreciate you. I sure would hate to be your kid.
Yeah, bring home a B-minus and you're out.
No.
Up for adoption.
No, if it goes well, it was everybody else. If it goes bad, well, that's you, dummy. We can have this conversation.
Oh, and we
stand
will.
On it.
And we are. He's having a bad year. I'm just telling you, on this show, I'm speaking for me, I'm going to have a hard time. If your point is Kyle's sucked all along and now we're seeing it and he gets no credit for any of the wins from the last 5 years, but every time something doesn't go right, it's all his fault. If that's your take, I'm personally going to have a hard time.
I am too, but I also am going to make sure that I'm firm in saying if this continues, something has to change.
Sure.
Doesn't mean that John and Kyle lose their jobs, but it means you either reshuffle responsibilities or you add somebody to the mix because what you're doing is not working.
That's
right
fair.
Now.
Yeah, he's having a rough year.